Blog Talk Radio.
Good night, everybody, and welcome to Discovering Me Through Poetry. And welcome to a wonderful Monday evening. I hope it's sunny and bright outside. And, well, I guess it depends on what part of the world you're listening into, eh? But I hope everybody has a big, wonderful start of the week. And we have a lovely board up tonight of poetry, all in colors. So, yeah, I ask people to dive into different colors and just, you know, be inspired by colors and by your five senses. And so promising, wonderful poetry tonight. And we have a great lineup of commenters and readers tonight. And we have Jody who's going to be posting up our poems. How are you doing tonight, Jody?
I'm good. Weather's great here, and got my work done early, so it's a bonus.
Oh, wow, great. You're working outside or inside?
A little both. Yeah, these people got me all over their house.
So you took over the place.
Yeah, pretty much.
And we have Barb. Hi, Barb. How are you tonight?
Hey, Naomi. So good to hear your voice. I'm doing well, thanks.
Great. Anything new your way?
Nope. Still gorgeous and beautiful. More robins than we can deal with, and squirrels, and sunshine, and warmth, and love and life right now.
Wow. You guys wouldn't believe it, but we had snow yesterday. Yesterday it snowed all night. Yeah, I know. What? Like, we hardly had any snow all winter, and we had snow last night. And it was like, it's gone now. Like, it melted away. But, you know, when I woke up this morning, everything was white out. So I was there, oh, no, come on. You're kidding me. and Pam's on with us. Hi, Pam.
Hello, Naomi. Hello, everyone. Yeah, we had a little bit of snow, too, a couple days ago. Hey, Puddles and Jody. And, yeah, we had snow a little bit the other day, too, but it did not last the whole day, thankfully. So, you know.
You get the snow, and then a couple of days later, I get it, eh?
Yeah, I think I shoved it your way. I shoved it your way. I have to tell you guys, I just read the funniest Miss Manners letter. It was, "Dear Miss Manners, how can I survive my neighbor's poetry attacks? Short of moving." Apparently, this person wrote to Miss Manners because their neighbor kept reading bad poetry to them that they had just written. And they're like, "Short of moving, how can I get away from this bad poetry?" I'm like, I wonder if that's one of my neighbors in my apartment building, but then I remembered I don't read my poetry to any of them.
Maybe your kid disguising as a neighbor. But did they get an answer back?
Well, Miss Manners didn't have much to say other than, is moving beyond the realm of possibility?
Oh, my gracious.
I do notice when I meet people on the street, like friends of friends, and, you know, tell a little bit about yourself and say, "I love poetry," immediately their eyes glaze over and they're looking for the exit. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that feeling. It's so true. We are a special group, the poetry lovers. It's no wonder we all gather together in the same watering hole.
Birds of a feather, right?
Yeah, absolutely, so true. My kids, you know, when I start talking about poetry there, they look for the door, they change subjects. Oh, boy. So it's great to hear from all of you. And, I had stuff going on, so I was away for a while, and so happy to be back, and so happy to get this evening started here with this wonderful poetry. So, if everybody's okay, we'll get it rolling. And are you ready, Jody?
Yeah, I am. I do want to add though, if you live in a tornado alley, you can't really complain about tornadoes. Just saying about the snow thing. You live in Antarctica, I mean, you're gonna get snow.
Even in Canada and Northwest Wisconsin, we have expectations. like, you know.
Yeah.
So we are more likely to get snow in April than any other places, but yeah.
Last year I was actually in May. I think it was the third week of May. I don't remember, but if I don't know if you remember this, Pam. I don't know if it was the same with you, but we had this heat wave, this huge heat wave in May, and I was actually swimming in my pool in the month of May last year. We had this big heat wave. And you know, yesterday it snowed, so yeah, quite, you know, my gracious, you know, the weather is just crazy.
Oh my goodness, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, so I believe we have one carryover, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so that will be another domain by Lockdown Larks. I'll post that, and I'll go ahead and give that a read to start the show.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Another domain. It feels like it is raining again. I wonder where do butterflies go? Looking, I see the trees in pain. Is this the place of the crimson flow? I feel an essence of others. Their consciousness whining, hands wringing, tearing limb from limb. You can sense the fear of no sun shining. Surely I must leave this house of wind. In the rain, where do butterflies go? Another domain? How do they know? It's time for a warmer color of together. Finding it, I decide to stay for a while. A welcome shelter from the stormy weather. My soul lifts to its widest smile. These cherished moments I want to keep and ask to dance with the forever. No, please don't wait. Stay asleep. A wind whispers. I am the never. In the rain, where do butterflies go? Another domain? How do they know? My heart aches. I must go. The vessel awakes and joins its life flow. End point.
Wonderful read there, Jody. And, you know, I just love this poem. I think it connected to the song very well. Someone Saved My Life Tonight by Elton John. And, you know, also the prompt, the second prompt to, well, the picture there, you see the butterfly leaving. And, the way he connects the human emotions to the butterfly leaving, going to another domain, the way he interweaved all that together is just amazing. I really like, I decide to stay for a while. You know, it's time for a warmer color of together. Finding it, I decide to stay for a while. A welcome shelter from the stormy weather. My soul lifts to its widest smile. I really like that. My soul lifts to its widest smile. And also the wind whispers, I am the never. Awesome lines and so very captivating piece, brilliantly composed and beautifully penned indeed. And what did you think, Pam?
Oh, I have to agree. This is beautiful. I like how he used the butterflies as a metaphor, as I take it, for happiness, and how oftentimes during those dreary and rainy times, we can find our own happiness disappearing and asking, where did it go to? And I did like that couplet, in the rain, where do butterflies go? Another domain, how do they know? And I'm following that. It's time for a warmer color of together, finding it. I decide to stay for a while. A welcome shelter from the stormy weather. My soul lifts to its widest smile. I like how that speaks on the thought of, you know, finding people that will help you get through that stormy weather in life and offer up that smile that you need. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said there. I love that comment, Pam. And what did you think, Barb?
Yeah, you ladies have already pointed out the places that caught my eye. And Pam, that was very insightful. I never thought of this as a metaphor, that butterflies were happiness and that when it rains, you know, where does our happiness go? So that's interesting. And that actually really makes the poem kind of pop for me. So I love that. And I also like that last stanza, my heart aches, I must go. The vessel awakes and joins its life flow. So it seems to me that perhaps this is all just a dreamscape. This is someone who's sleeping, who they're dealing with some kind of despair. You know, her heart is aching, but then the vessel awakes. She's starting to come out of her sleep, and now she needs to join the day. She needs to get on with her life, and it's slow. But overall, I thought it was a lot of beautiful imagery, great descriptors. And it was interesting because there could be so many different interpretations. Like if you decide it's a metaphor on butterflies, or I was actually as a biologist thinking, I actually don't know where butterflies go when it's rained. Do they hang on the underside of large leaves? Because I know if you rub their wings, they lose their scales and they can't fly. So how do they protect themselves? So I was going very realistic, and I love that this poem had enough nuance to it that it could meet you wherever you're at. So well done, Larks.
Wonderful, wonderfully said there. And yeah, I thought this poem was, you know, you could come from different sides of it, you know, attack it from different sides and, you know, just a different sentiments in it, you know, whether you took it literally or whether you took it metaphorically. And yeah, that's why I gave it the bronze. I thought it was so captivated, so captivating and, you know, entirely very witty and carefully penned out. And what did you think of the write, Jody?
Yeah, I thought the poem, you know, definitely captured the melancholy of a rainy day, you know, and had the imagery of butterflies and trees and pain. I really like that as well. You know, it had a haunting quality to the poem, and then it contrasted with, you know, longing for warmth and togetherness amidst the storm. Yeah, I thought the imagery, you know, and the emotions of it evoked a sense of introspection and a longing for connection. You know, definitely made it a captivating piece for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Very well done.
I like that you said that, you know, wanting a, you know, connection and wanting, seeking a connection there somewhere. And what do we have up next, Jody?
All right. So next, let's see, we will be the first poem of the colors contest. And I'll put it up right now. And that would be by Talia R7, Colors from My Heart. Puddles, you want to give that a read?
Sure, I'd love to. Thanks, Jody.
Right. You're welcome.
Colors from my heart. Colors are what makes life interesting and beautiful. I will paint upon your heart happy colors, and you will smile and find happiness within. Let's go green cheers to new beginnings. Happily ever after, I see health, renewal, rebirth, and growth. Just like God's green earth, let's blossom like the plants, smell the roses in our garden, and be free. Touching your lips, let's kiss and reproduce like the animals and replenish the earth. We will be good stewards and take care of all things given to us. We will put smiles on faces as we color the spaces around us. Next, we paint yellow. Feel the heat from the sunlight, God's most amazing creation. What a difference the sun makes. It always puts a smile on faces. I feel joy, hope, peace, love, and friendship. I will touch your heart as you touch mine, and we embrace looking at your face. I am humbled by grace. Color me with red. No need to dread. A color well defined by the heart touches our soul with stories untold. When I wear red for you, my love, it's passion and desire burning deep in our soul. It also means you can count on me to be there for you. I will defend you. I will be your protector. I will be your peace and war doctor. I will take care of all your needs. I will color your path with colors from my heart while making you smile one day at a time. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Barb. And, you know, what an absolutely beautiful poem. You know, you have the more open, like, the communion between, you know, all the earth and all the peoples, all the world at the beginning. And then it zeroes in on to that loved one, you know, at the end. So it's all about, you know, how you deal with people around you, and then that seeking for that connection, and then preaching that interweaveness between people on the planet Earth, and taking care of the Earth too. And I love how she weaved in the colors, you know, the green, the yellow, which is, like I said before so many times, is one of my favorite colors. And, of course, the red for love and passion and the heart. So beautifully done, Talia. What did you think, Jody?
Yeah, I thought the poem was beautiful. I loved how it captured the essence of life through the symbolism of the colors. You know, I think she used each hue represented different emotions, from the freshness of green, symbolizing new beginnings, to the warmth of yellow, signifying joy and hope with that, I feel like. The imagery of painting upon the heart with happy colors, I feel like added depth to the poem's message of love and care. So I thought she did a very good job with that.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said. And what about you, Pam? What did you think?
Well, I really thought this was an amazing and thoughtful write on the beauty of colors in and around us. And I like how she uses the different colors to represent something within our lives, or, certain emotions. But I have to say my absolute favorite lines were, "Let's go green, cheers to new beginnings, happily ever after. I see health, renewal, rebirth, and growth, just like God's green earth." And then where she mentions, "We will be good stewards and take care of all things given to us." I always say that no matter what your religious beliefs, I think it's important that we all understand that however we think we got here, we need to take care of the earth. And I just love the color green, especially when it comes to nature and the spirituality that it represents. So I thought those were wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. Yeah, she does just well said there, Pam, the way that she really zeroes in with each color. And Barb, your thoughts?
I thought this was a really all-encompassing poem that talked about feelings and a way of being in the world, of appreciating the world and its colors. And Talia starts right from the first word with her awe-inspired appreciation of colors. Colors are what makes life interesting and beautiful. I will paint upon your heart happy colors, and you will smile. I just love that whole image of not only finding beauty in colors and the world and the way it kind of spreads one color to another, not only enjoying that yourself, but also wanting to help others to see that. Perhaps there are some people that just tend to motor through life and they're not really looking at the scenery that's passing, aren't looking at the beauty that's found, in the ditches with the green and perhaps a little bit of blue water. And I love that Talia is helping people take that moment to just breathe and stop and take a look around and enjoy the colors, and even to spend our own time imagining how we define the colors. She gives us great jumping off point, but she also gives us leverage to find meaning in the colors for ourselves. In fact, I feel she's inviting us to do that. And she talks about the colors making people smile at least two or three times throughout her poem. So it really is a very, colors to her, and I think to most people, are just very uplifting and brighten someone's day. And I think she did a really beautiful job of passing that on, portraying that, and helping us to embrace the colors in our own lives.
Absolutely. Very well said there. It is such a very inspiring poem, I felt, almost spiritual in a kind of way also, you know, and looking for that your own spirituality inside of you a bit there when you look at the colors of the world and how to contemplate everything around you. And that was an awesome comment there. And where are we? So wonderfully done, Talia. And where are we going next, Jody?
Next, I'm going to put up a piece by an Irish bard. It's Merely a Flesh Wound. Naomi, you want to give that a read?
Okay, an Irish bard. This is a new poet for me, unless somebody who changed their name. But let's go, let's see. It's Merely a Flesh Wound, a shrapnel of lives, a car window busted, business glass doors cracked with paramount blessings about to fall throughout a crushed city. We sat on chairs parked outside next to shops where people panhandle, collecting our times and distant view for a better future and a higher promise, a royal calling, a new life. We banded together when they were many and we were few. Looking to fight and continue forward, hoping for a peaceful resolution and to promote the awareness of a brighter future. Northern Ireland speaks and says, the Irish are back. The Irish are back. End poem. And, you know, what a powerful write. And, wow. So much, I felt so much emotion, you know, when I was reading this. What did you think, Pam?
Well, it definitely is an emotive write. There's a lot of different colors that come to my mind, although, you know, they don't actually mention any, but, you know, I think of, and I'm not really sure of Northern Ireland, but like I think of the color green with the clover, I think of the color orange, and I think of, for some reason, I think of black when I read a poem like this with the struggles, and also of when you see shrapnel of lives, the car window busted, I think of red, the color of blood and death. And obviously this is when Ireland was going through a very difficult time of bombings and protests and, there's definitely different colors and thoughts that come into my mind as I read this. But I liked how there is within this a sense of pride in one's culture, especially in the Irish are back, the Irish are back, because too oftentimes throughout history there have been certain cultures and certain people that have gotten or started to get lost because they were taken over. And so definitely emotive lines and very well done.
Yeah, and I get that here in Quebec, you know, we're the only French province in the whole of Canada. and there are French communities throughout Canada, but you know, the only province that is French is Quebec, and you know, we fight every day not to be swallowed up by all the English around us. And, you know, that's why there's a souverainist, you know, their fight. They want the Quebec to become a country. And because, you know, we are belittled a little bit by the rest of English Canada in a way, you know, and not taken always so seriously, I guess. We have a very strong culture and a very strong feeling of belonging here, you know, to one another here in Quebec. And it's not the same as the rest of Canada. It's really, really different, the mentality. And I'm sure Barb knows a little bit about that because being Canadian. So I'll let you talk, Barb, next.
Yeah, actually, the Quebecois is a really valuable part of Canada. It's where Canada was birthed from, and it seems the further that our frontier spread west, the more we lost the language, but it's now officially bilingual, French and English country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I feel very fortunate that my father grew up in one of those little outposts in Ontario, the province of Ontario, that was almost entirely a French community. So I find myself as French Canadian. It is, to me, one of the happiest parts of who I am, as I think back to all the, because I was raised in that culture where family is everything. It's the center of life. It's who you are. And I really also felt that in It's Merely a Flesh Wound, that pride of ownership of being who you are at your core, and in this case, being Irish, but not just Irish from the north of Ireland. And it just sounds like there's this pride that for whatever reason was laying dormant for a while, but was never completely squashed. The light never went out. And to me, light brings all colors. It's the rainbows. It's what colors our entire world. And there really was, to me, a sense of ownership and pride of not just the history that has been so tragic and difficult, but the fact that, you know, just like the phoenix rising from the ashes, you know, all the hardships only made us stronger. The Irish are back. The Irish are back. I also have strong roots in Ireland. We came from France through Ireland to Quebec and then Ontario. And so I also have a very strong affinity for Ireland. I mean, three of my four kids have red hair. My daughter also has green eyes. I want to go to Ireland just to see people embrace her because her heritage flows so intimately through every pore of her, and it just comes out. She looks so Irish. So I particularly loved this song. Sorry, I called it a song. I guess that tells you how I'm thinking about this poem. And I did love the descriptive use of words here, like shrapnel of lives, a car window busted, business glass doors cracked. I mean, even if you look at it metaphorically, it's like, you know, all those lives and communities just torn apart by war, car windows busted. I can just hear the sirens, you know, when a lot car alarm goes off. And then business glass doors cracked. It's like the very fabric of their commerce was disrupted by all the tumultuous times, and yet the Irish are back. It's like they never actually went away, but they are ready to rise again and claim their place in history and in this world. So I loved every bit of this poem.
Absolutely. Yeah, me too. I really liked it. And like Pam said, you can, you know, when I was reading it, I did imagine, you know, when I read it beforehand and when I was reading it, you know, like Pam said, you can, even if the colors aren't there, you do see colors when you're reading this. And yeah, amazing, amazing, right? And what did you think, Jody?
Yeah, I agree a little bit with what both of you were talking about. Originally, my first thought was like Pan's car bombs, but car bombs I think about is the ones I always get talked into drinking on St. Patty's Day. They got freaking Jameson and a pint of Guinness, and it's just horrible drink. But so I sympathize a little bit with Ireland. Like, they got to drink that? Like, wow. Brutal. But then as the poem went on, I listen to your comments. I agree. I think that, you know, capturing the spirit of community rising above the scars of conflict was definitely a vivid picture he painted in this poem. I did like the imagery of the shattered windows and crushed city. I thought that metaphorically illustrated wounds inflicted to the city. You know, while the people, you know, united and showed determination, you know, it definitely was shining through in this poem. So that was definitely a powerful testament to enduring hope for peace and a brighter future for their country. So that was very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said there, Jody. And, you know, I'm half Irish, too. Like, my mom is a Murphy, so. And we have blondish red hair, too, you know, all the women in my family. So, yeah, I guess the blonde is the French side, and a little bit of reddish is the Irish side. But, yeah, so I'm half Irish, too, so I really, you know, associate it with this poem very much. It really touched me. And so wonderfully well done. And what will be our next poem, Jody?
All right, our next poem is To Green by Berentoff. Pam, would you like to give that a read?
Sure, absolutely. The leaves on trees are always green as timothy waves in the wind, a different shade but the same sheen. Before you walk, eyes take it in. Until your world is braced in leaves and morning light from stilling seas, how could such common color bind the earnest ardor of the mind? Those browns and grays get in the way as gold heat dries the hill and glade. Now violet and orange blooms wilt from the drought as wastelands loom. Then bits of red touch frosted nights and blue-black depths of space take flight, turning the freeway paths within a budding mind to guilt and sin. Winter lies bleak upon the plain, then stark cold ice reports a stage that codes color to sun dog's paint, the weather's hold an icy cage. It's then you know the color green means life and love and youth turning, the color breathes of things foretold as warming breeze revives the old. End poem.
Wow, wonderful read there, Pam. And I really like the rhythm of this piece, you know, the rhyming scheme here. Beautiful, you know, I think it's A-B-A-B, I guess it would be called. Wonderfully well done. And all, you know, bringing back that to that, going back, circling back to that color green, which is, you know, the meaning of life and love and, you know, the meaning of everything, you know, the life itself. And the way that each color was used was just so brilliantly well done. What did you think, Barb?
I thought it was beautiful. And even though Berentoff focused on green, they gave a nod to other colors. So they, you know, basically saying without saying it that the colors don't exist in isolation, that they're also in community. And while we may not like the grays and the browns, they're still there and they do add their tint and their hues and their shadows and shades to the green, which again impart a depth and a fluidity in that green that is just absolutely incredible. And I love how they took the color green in a tree through all the seasons. Basically, you know, how, you know, other plants, the purples and the reds will die in the drought, but the green remains. And to be tinged perhaps by more subtle colors when the sap stops flowing in the fall and the leaves turn and then descend to the earth, and then winter lies bleak upon the plain, and the weathers hold an icy cage. It's then you know the color green means life and love and youth turning. I love that. It's like, yeah, you think the tree's dead, the tree's all gone, the green's all gone, but it's just lying in there waiting for a little bit of sunshine and warmth to bring it back out to start the cycle again. So just a really fine use of color and inferences, and expanding the palette to include other colors to make sure we know that green is the color for Baron Toff. Really well penned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wonderfully said there, Barb. Yeah, it was enchanting, I guess, the rhythm of it, but it was a very powerful piece also, you know, like you said, with the way you brought in those other colors. And what did you think, Jody?
I thought they did a great job exploring the significance of the color green in this, you know, weaving through nature's cycle to reflect on life, love, and the passage of time. But, you know, like Barb was saying, you know, he still was giving a nod to the other colors, and that kind of gives me, you know, the impression of, you know, can't stick to what you think is your thing because then you'll miss out on all the rest. I thought it was a pretty positive message that I got out of that. I thought the imagery captured the essence of each season very well, embodying, you know, contemplation on deeper meanings behind the vibrant hue. So, yeah, it was very thought-provoking. I enjoyed that.
Thought-provoking. Yeah, I like that. It is indeed. And what did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I like how he used the different colors to take us through the different seasons as a representation for the things we go through in our life and how we can forget the importance of the times of hope and life and joy until we go through some winter of life, the trying times with those icy cages. So I really thought this had great lines all the way through, but I particularly thought that end stanza wrapped it up nicely with the idea that, you know, the green represents that hope and life. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Well said there, Pam. Yeah, I like that, through the seasons and, you know, a nod, if you want. And, yeah, I like what you said about, you know, it's not until you've seen the dark that you can appreciate the green, I guess, if I can say it that way. And so wonderfully done, Baron Toff. Wonderful piece. And where are we going next, Jody?
Next, I'll be putting up a poem by CRL17, Finding Love. I think it's my turn to read, right?
Yep.
Okay, I'll give that a read for us. Finding love. Eyes that sparkle crystal blue, dancing like we used to do. Summer breezes, perfumed air, tickled feet, and grass were bare. Moments touching, hands to hold, memories as we grow old. A season's dear from the past, eternal love found us at last. In poems.
Beautiful. And here again, you know, I have all kinds of colors floating around in my head. You know, of course, the crystal blue. He always starts with the crystal blue of the eyes. But, you know, then he brings in the summer, so then the green comes in with the grass and you know, all these different colors. I don't know. There's even gray there. I don't know why gray comes to mind. Maybe the passing of the seasons. But, you know, and I have red there with the love. So, yeah, great use of different colors without really mentioning them. What did you think, Pam?
I just
Pam
got back,
right
so
there.
If you,
oh.
Yeah, I just got back, so I'm going to need time.
Oh, sorry, Pam, I didn't see your message. What did you think, Barb?
I thought you nailed it. You highlighted every color that was unspoken but so clearly seen in the word choices. So I thought that was very inventive, very, very creative, and to give us basically a half dozen colors while only mentioning but one. So bravo for that. And I do love talking about memories as we grow old, the seasons dear from the past, eternal love found us at last. It speaks of perhaps a waiting to arrive where all these beautiful colors and experiences and memories didn't come right out the gate, that life got in the way and they had to put things on hold. Eternal love found us at last, but they stayed the course and managed to discover each other in full bloom love. So that was a really nice touch to the poem as well. It was quite a pretty brevity.
Absolutely. I really liked it. An awesome brevity like Chuck can do them. It's amazing. And a beautiful rhythm to it, too. And what did you think, Jody?
Yeah, I thought he did a wonderful job, you know, capturing the essence of cherished memories and enduring love. Very vivid imagery, like you were saying, is for the summer breezes. I love the bare feet and grass. I can just feel that as I was reading it. And the sparkling blue eyes, you know, I thought that evoked a sense of nostalgia and warmth. And then, you know, he ends the poem with the seasons dear from the past, eternal love found us at last. Kind of hints towards, you know, they went down a lot of broken roads to get to where they finally came together and able to, you know, share it with each other and just start making memories of the moments together. So I thought that was a pretty cool, you know, a testament of how we journey through life. Very well done.
Absolutely. Well said there, Jody. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I really like this brevity. It has such wonderful imagery and heartfelt lines on those loving moments shared together where memories are made. And the other thing I really like about this one is because the contest that you had was twofold, the idea of bringing in colors with the five senses. And I really think that CRL does a wonderful job of bringing in the senses, you know, with the mention of the eyes and the dancing. So there's, and then even my absolute favorite is summer breezes, perfumed air, tickled feet, and grass were bare. Such wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. Yeah, he did do a wonderful job, like you said, of bringing in the five senses into the poem. And such a short poem, too. So wonderfully done there, Chuck. And where are we going next, Jody?
Next, I'm going to put up our only SoundCloud, I believe, is by Barb, My Deepest Blue.
All right, here we go.
My Deepest Blue by Barb Christing. A thousand shades of blue color me, call me home. They spring from depths as cold as steel, determined, aloof, a sea of timid hope that stumbles over rocks, in streams that wander, ever searching for a warming light to listen to my soul, that babbles on and on and on, a droning splash that swirls upon itself, collecting life's debris, 'cause ain't nobody listening to me. And so I lend my ears to the world, hear the notes that rise from the riverbanks, 100 feathered tunes that lift my spirits, turn my eyes to aqua skies where joy filters in and flutters. The buttery sun melts my core, tinges my edges a healing shade of green, where aromatic pines fill my lungs, dew-kissed meadows sparkle on my skin, and tender spring shoots grow to shade my path. Beneath this mottled sun my inner sea flows, but its salty brine and blackened hues are changing. It slows and morphs and pulls sweet light from the sky to skip from stone to polished stone where mother's laughter gurgles and listens to my heart. I find comfort in her shawl of green where I am truly seen and my deepest blues accepted in her palette so serene. 1,000 shades of blue color me and I am home.
Oh, what a wonderful write again, Barbara. My gracious, this is so heartfelt and so deep and so powerful and so emotive. It's just absolutely beautiful. I'm going to comment more, but Pam, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I thought this was wonderful. And as always, a beautiful SoundCloud reading. Such amazing imagery and metaphors that speak on the power of nature to help us heal in difficult times when the spirit feels weighed down. And I like how you split blue into two parts. There is the blue that represents the depression, the coldness, but there's the blue that represents the water that is life and the hope that can come out of us and wonderful lines all the way through. But I especially like beneath this mottled sun, my inner sea flows, but its salty brine and blackened hues are changing. It slowly morphs and pulls sweet light from the sky. Wonderful lines on how just getting outside and being in the sunlight can really change our attitude from within and really add to our physical and emotional health. So excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said there. And I just love this, you know, how you start with, you know, like Pam said, the metaphors you use, the sea of timid hope that stumbles over rocks and streams that wander. And then I just love the line, you know, that to listen to my soul that babbles on and on and on, you know, like the stream, you just hear the stream there flowing over the rocks. And, you know, the way you used language in this, throughout this, wow, I just have to, you know, applaud you because it's just amazing the way your adjectives and every single verb and all the words you use, the descriptives are just amazing in here. And what did you think, Jody?
Yeah, first of all, I thought that was a great reading, right, for sure. I love that SoundCloud. And I feel like you definitely embodied the contest that she had put up with the colors, but I thought you took it a step further, too, and embodied the title of our show, Discovering Me Through Poetry. I thought this poem, you know, was a beautiful journey of self-discovery and acceptance, you know, through the metaphors of the sea and the myriad shades of blue. You know, from depths of uncertainty and loneliness to finding solace and acceptance and nature's embrace. So you did a great job reflecting that. You know, the universal longing for connection and understanding was very poignant in this poem. So you did a great job all the way through, for sure. You know, vivid imagery and definitely invoked a sense of tranquility and renewal. So very well done.
I like that comment, Jody. It's so true. You know, you do present us, Barb, through this poem. Yeah, you give yourself, and you give a little piece of yourself in this poem, and it's so beautiful. And I love every single stanza. I can't pick out one, but you know that ending is so emotive and so heartfelt, you know. Then, you know, when you come back to your mother's laughter and, you know, a thousand shades of blue color me and I am home. And, you know, the shawl of green, just absolutely amazing, every line of this. And I love how you formatted it too, you know, how it just, you know, drops down the page. It's just beautiful everywhere. Every single thing about you is beautiful. It's so wonderfully done, Barb.
Thank you.
And Jody, where are we going next?
So that was a great read and write, but that still ain't going to get you out of my system. You're next in line on my list, so you're going to have to read this next one too, Barb, if you would be so kind. We'll get back to back, Barb. How's that? I Wander, The Spectrum of Life by Tomahawk.
Thanks, Jody. I wander the spectrum of life. Though I be one, I feel as many, a biomultiplex. My life was not to merely drift through unscathed, but to feel effective from affective thought process, not to be subject to unwieldy color schemes, but to further analyze the deep meanings within them and to wave through the eddies of life's spectrum. And so a prismatic breakdown, red from the ever-raging heat of its meaning, feeling its heat and desire to blaze emotion into words, to let them know I'm there, never backing down from challenge. Orange's cautionary nature gives me pause to reassess my error-curious persona with reason and to taste a citrus but bold tang to forethought. Yellow's principle is to fear underestimation of spirit, that which drives me to sometimes take the road less traveled and dare to be the happy wanderer that I am. Green, truly a neutral spirit indeed, giving my gypsy lady ways new hope and spearmint healing with almost an intellectual minty smell of satisfaction. Blue, oh, the benevolence of blue and its curative balm of cooling off my assertiveness and motivations, giving sight to see the broad view in a spiritual ice field. Indigo's mood is of a tricky nature and of a narrow bend. I traverse the line of uncertainty with chromatic vigilance so that this tightrope of emotions doesn't reject my cause. Violet. Well, this elusive color in my mind's eye fascinates me. I can come this far only to find a spiritual fork in the road because ultraviolet behavior leads to an X-ray betrayal. I walk the thin line of genius and insanity each and every day with all these chromatic obstacles life throws at me. But, you know, all these colors contract to visible light, white light. Therefore, I can see clearly now the rain has gone. And with that, I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind, for truly it's going to be a bright, bright sunshiny day. End poem.
Oh, what a beautiful read. And that's one of our favorite songs, me and my girls. I can see clearly now. We sing it all the time when we're together, that song. It's like our song. And, it was there, especially towards the end, and he incorporated those lines from the song so beautifully. Well done, so witty. And I just love how he incorporated so many colors in this poem. And, and the lines, oh, wow, he has so many, like the taste of citrus, but bold tang. To forethought, well, that was wonderful. The spearmint healing, and with almost an intellectual minty smell of satisfaction. The way he used color in this poem is just so clever and well done. What did you think, Pam?
I have to agree. His use of different colors in this is brilliant, especially since he doesn't stick just the typical like red and blue and green, or he brings in yellow and indigo and violet, and there's wonderful lines all the way through in this philosophical and introspective write that speaks on understanding the layers of self. And I like the spirituality in the lines that speak on the visible light, the white light in which we see clearly. But I also really like Indigo's mood is of a tricky nature and of a narrow bend. I traverse the line of uncertainty with chromatic vigilance so that this tightrope of emotions doesn't reject my cause. And I like that because oftentimes it is emotions that overwhelm us and emotions that cause us to not always make the best decisions. That's obviously not to say emotions are bad, but, sometimes we don't always make the best decisions when we're overwhelmed by them. And so I thought there was a lot of thought put into this, right, and intelligence, and it was just very well done.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, that's... Great comment, a very intelligent write for sure. Brilliantly use of color in this poem. And what did you think, Jody?
Yeah, I thought it was definitely a profound exploration of the complexities of our human experience that we all go through. He brought it all through the lens of color and emotion. I thought, each color represented a facet of life and emotion, from the fiery passions of red to calming influence of blue. I couldn't help but think of this show my daughter always made me watch when she was a kid, called Inside Out. It's a Disney show, I think. About a girl who had to move, but she had all these range of emotions in her mind: joy, fear, anger, disgust, sadness. They're all different colors, and they're always in conflict on where she needed to go next, or she was coming into her own. But it's a pretty comical little show. But for some reason, that was coming to mind with all these vivid colors and all this emotion that he had in this poem. I always enjoy when a poem takes me places like that randomly. I haven't watched that show probably 8-10 years probably. Yeah, it's pretty cool. But I thought he did a great job with it. Journey of self-discovery in this one too, as well. Resilience is depicted in the poem. Final revelation that he had, that song lyric. I thought that definitely encapsulated the whole poem with a message of hope and clarity. So I did a great job with this one.
I like that you ended on that note, Jody. The overall message at the end, bringing in hope, and it's very inspirational in the end there, this poem. And what did you think, Barb?
Yeah, I have to agree with everyone, but something Pam said really resonated with me. It just felt like in this poem, we got atypical definitions of color. it was, to me, very creative. Like, I've never attributed orange to a cautionary nature, but I can totally see that. I've never thought of yellow as being principled of having a fear of underestimation. But if we see think of the magnificence of the sun, there's no underestimating that. So I can totally see pairing yellow with the sun and underestimation and being principled. And then green doesn't just talk about, you know, the green in nature, but it talks about a truly neutral spirit, which to me is just about fairness. It's about equity. It's about seeing all as equal. And then blue as benevolence. I would have never thought of that, but you can totally see. Like, I was always surprised when, you know, you study colors, and blue is actually, is it not? I'm going to probably misrepresent. I think it is surprisingly categorized as a warm color. I think most of us think of blue as a cold color, like in the color wheel, but I believe it's warm, which lends itself to being described as benevolent, the benevolence of blue and its curative balm. I can totally see that. How many people, you know, will soak in a hot tub or, you know, go for just soaks in some kind of an oil to just soothe your aches and your pains and to heal and to get better. And that's all blue. And it was just beautifully all tied together in very creative ways, pairing the colors to different attributes of being human. And then the indigo's mood is tricky and narrow bend. It really is. Indigo has, all the colors had so many shades, but if you had to describe what indigo is, it's kind of almost unfathomable. It's like it's a little bit of that, it's a little bit of that. So I totally love that they pair indigo's mood is of a tricky nature. You can't quite put your finger on it. So I just thought that this was such a creative write that really gives you something to think about. And you have, to me, there was a lot of aha moments in this. And I got to say, I really enjoyed reading it. It was an absolute pleasure to read. And the way the words were put and spaced on the page, it was actually easy and very pleasant to follow, which I think is a hallmark of, for me, a very enjoyable poem. So well, well done.
Absolutely. Yeah, like Pam said, and you said too, you're brilliant and very intelligent, right? And it had an enchanting quality, very captivating throughout, and so wonderfully well, cleverly well done. So bravo, Tamahak. What a wonderful write. And where are we going next, Jody?
Okay, next I want to post a poem by Ed Hunter called A Breath. Naomi, you want to give that a read?
Okay. A Breath by Ed Hunter. Pure naked beauty, luscious sweet lips, infuse saturation, a velvety fruit taste, makes me scream, end poem. Wow, you know, there's a lot of emotion packed into this little brevity. You can just feel it here, that anticipation, that warmth, that lust, and the color that comes with it. You know, you think of red, of course, but you think of pink, of skin color, I don't know, and the velvety fruit taste that brings so many colors to mind right there. And I just love that he ends what makes me scream. Well put together brevity, amazing job, Ed, here. And what did you think, Barb, of this poem, this little brevity?
Yeah, I think it. Yeah, Ed packed quite a punch in just a handful of words. But if I was to have written this, I would assume there would, in that first line, be no mirrors involved, because pure naked in my mirror is not pretty. So, but I thought this was, I thought Ed did a really wonderful job making it sensual and yet sweet and innocent at the same time. And I just realized in his poem how much I love the word saturation. Doesn't it just kind of, like, it sounds the way it is defined, saturation. That, to me, is just filled with so many delightful sounds as you read that. I love that word. I'm going to have to use that in a poem this week somewhere. But I thought he had a lot of wonderful imagery, definitely tapped into many of the senses, and he did it in a very neat little package. So, yeah, great job.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said there. And Pam, what did you think?
Well, first of all, so if the, you mean, Barb, what you're telling us is that there's no mirror on the ceiling above your bed. Is that what you're telling us?
Pam, are you making me close my window from my neighbors again? Is that what you're doing?
I'm trying to get your neighbor to write a letter to Miss Manners. Dear Miss Manners.
Could you please make my neighbor go away or stay encapsulated in her home?
Yeah, but I thought this was an absolutely lovely, sensual brevity all the way through. And it's difficult to separate one line from the next, but such amazing imagery. But I especially like that opening line, pure naked beauty. It's that idea of someone who looks upon their lover and sees no imperfections. So wonderful write and very well done.
Absolutely wonderfully said there, Pam. And Jody, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I enjoyed it too. I enjoyed poems that, you know, they have like an intense sensory experience with it, you know, through the passion and the vivid imagery and the concise language he used. I got to put pure naked beauty with luscious sweet lips. I thought that created a, you know, captivating contrast, you know, kind of drew the reader into the moment of heightened sensation. I also liked the infused saturation and velvety fruit taste. You know, I thought that further enhanced the sensory richness to the scene that he was evoking. And then at an abrupt ending would make me scream. You know, I thought that was kind of primal and raw, leaving a lasting impression on the reader. You know what I mean? Just make me scream. Was this Art of Seduction, or where are we at with this poem?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Barb, I think it's kind of weird you don't have a mirror above your bed, by the way.
Mother's Day is coming.
Oh, boy. And where are we going? So wonderful job there, Ed. And where are we going next, Jody?
All right, next I'm going to put up a poem by Swan Song. Yesterday's Hike. Pam, would you like to give that a read, please?
Absolutely. Through the forest, trees, distant water, cachinate, I trudge across a maze of green conifers with dark brown bark, some twisted by the heavy snows that frequent these parts. The trail is a series of switchbacks, and little white blossoms explode from small bush-like trees. Along the path, mountain violets in their bright yellow spin sunward, and the air has a sweetness to it. Ferns in a bright green offer shelter for spiders and small sprouts. Peeking out from the damp soil, one spotted tree frog lies still under the gentle cover. A small Phoebe perches on a mossy limb, then flutters off through the many branches of trees and bushes. The bright chatter of a chipmunk sounds a warning that a stranger is passing through. Another trill from hidden bird sings across the canopy as a cornflower sky offers a backdrop. The forest opens to a wooden bridge. The sound of water strengthens as snowmelt pounds car-sized granite boulders and slides rapidly down the steep mountain. Silver water splashes up from the stony bed of Humpback Creek. The snow melt kisses my hot brow as I slog to the shore. Every bone aches. Water plummets in three tiers, and the force wavers the trees along the shore in a dance. Orange-brown moss covers large boulders where the water cannot reach. Fallen timbers jackstraw the silver-blue cascades caught on unmoving stones. Old cracked boots come off and hot feet dip into the ice-cold sensation of clear mountain water. Goosebumps sprout across leathered skin. My aching back begins to loosen and I laugh at pink toes with a few little hairs on the back. Along the opposite shore, a trillium with creamy white blossom curls over three white mushrooms with large heads leaning to the side as droplets tumble down into a bed of bright green moss. The song of white water changes tone in its naked way, and the aroma of clean air revitalizes old bones. Deep in the gray-blue rock, a few old emotions swirl. I touch old friends who trudged with me in these mountains, experienced the pains, and sat on cool shores of a wild river in its raw power. At the coolness cleansed their inner being as the stream rages, my old brown eyes flutter and slowly close. End poem.
Oh, what a beautiful, you know, he took us really on, you know, a voyage here, you know, through the woods, through the, you know, through nature here. We were really with him, experiencing it, you know, seeing all these things along with him and feeling it, you know, not just seeing it, but really feeling it, you know, every step of the way. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that, you know, when you go from extremely cold to hot or hot to extremely cold, and it's so true that your whole body prickles, I don't know if that's the word there, prickles, but you know, you really feel that. Well, I get it from going to the spa so often. I like to go in the cold water, and then you go into the hot spa, and you know, and I keep running between the two, and I just love that sensation that you know, all my body gets all over there. There go those goosebumps everywhere and feeling so alive. And I think that's what this poem makes me feel. It makes me feel truly alive. And, you know, I feel the power of nature here and the of life and, you know, contemplation and living in the moment. And there's so many emotions that come to mind as Pam was reading that. Wonderful read, by the way, Pam. And what do you think, Jody?
Yeah, I thought it was a great poem that captured the sensory experience of wandering through the forest and vivid imagery of nature's details and the introspective reflection of the poet. You know, I love the serene surroundings, you know, with the raw power of the rushing water. I thought that created a compelling atmosphere for the reader to like you said, you know, go on the journey with them, you know, just very tranquil and vigor atmosphere for sure. Yeah, I liked it all the way through. I thought he did a well job of how he placed all the moments. You know, he didn't like rush through any of them. He sat back and felt and experienced every single one. So did a very good job with that.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said there, Jody. And Barb, what are your thoughts?
I thought this was exquisite. I was tracking right there with them. And this may be revealing a bit too much of my prejudice, but before I looked and saw it was Jeff and therefore a guy, I was assuming I was listening to the voices of a woman because it seemed so intensely in tune in a very soft, subtle, gentle way with the nature through which, in my mind, she was navigating, almost one with the creation. And perhaps it's my seeing guys more of a machismo that don't notice these nuances in nature. So I was so, so pleasantly surprised to see that Jeff wrote it, that a guy wrote it, that he was so intimately connected to nature in this way. And I totally was tracking with him in the stanza, old cracked boots came off and hot feet dip into the ice cold sensation of clear mountain water. That is one of the most awesome things to do. However, when you got to dry your feet and get those feet back into that hot, sweaty boot, not fun. But that moment of release, getting your feet out and dipping them into that cool, cool, ice-cold water is just a delight. And I loved, because there's so many stanzas, I'm not sure I'm going to track them down. So I'll just do it from memory. I loved he visited or he had us visit the water in all of its different forms from, I'm thinking higher up in the mountain where, you know, we've got these massive boulders and I could actually hear them kind of grating against each other as they were being pounded by all the melt from all the ice up higher in the mountain, just pushing on it down the slope. And then by the end, we're getting to these softer trickles where he can find peace and just respite on the side to soak his feet. And he anthropomorphized, to me, the water tremendously well. It really seemed to have a personality that just kind of mellowed out as he went down the mountain. And I enjoyed every last bit. I was going to say I want to do a road trip with this girl. Probably not appropriate that Jeff and I do a road trip, but I could totally track and hike with this person because their attention to detail was astounding. I adored this one.
Oh, yeah. You know, Jeff, he is known for his nature poetry, and every time he really nails it. I had the immense privilege of doing a collaboration with him, and it was a nature poem, and oh wow, you're just amazed at the details that he captures, and he's also he also takes a lot of photos, so you know, does a bit of photography, and you know, and it shows his attention, like you said, Barb, his attention to detail is just amazing. And the way he writes too is just awesome. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I have to agree. And actually, I think if I remember right, a lot of the contests he runs on All Poetry is his own photography, so which is really cool to see. But I love his attention to detail and how he paints a picture with his words. And as you've all mentioned, takes us along this walk for us. And it really is, you know, he's got such attention for small detail, like especially that second stanza that mentions the ferns in a bright green offer shelter for spiders and small sprouts peeking out of the damp soil. One spotted tree frog lies still under the gentle cover. So I really like that he sees the small things around him. And there's such an appreciation in this rite for both the beauty and the power of nature. So amazing rite and very well done.
Absolutely. And you know, it's wonderful, you know, his ending stands also, you know, as the stream rages, my old brown eyes flutter and slowly close. So you have the juxtaposition there of, you know, the nature, the power, like you were saying, Pam, the power of nature and the calmness that it brings to us inside. You know, you see that in that last stanza, you know, the calming power of nature upon us, you know, when you do take the time to really enjoy it and you know, be surrounded and see, take the moment to live in, take the time to live in the moment. And so wonderful, wonderful job, Jeff. Again, amazing, amazing, right? And where are we going next, Jody?
I just want to add, as I was listening to your all's comments, I found a message through here that is, you know, that water takes on any shape, right? And I've seen how he did that throughout this poem, which I thought was pretty clever. You know, he started out how it just explodes and then how it comes up, slides down the slopes and then, like, knocks trees back because its force is so great. And then towards the end, it's like, and he starts talking about how, you know, just a little droplet tumbles down into the bed. And the message I got with that was that's kind of where I've been trying to go with life, just kind of going with the flow, taking on any form I need to in the circumstance, just like water does. So that's kind of what I got from that.
Yeah, that's an awesome comment. Yeah. Awesome.
Thank you. Next, I will be putting up Unfinished by Jessica C. Wheeler, and I will give that a read. All right, Unfinished. Sunlight spills onto the hardwood, seeping through a crack of the hallway's last door. Steps echoing heartbeats, click, 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 rising to a crescendo, coming thunder. A hesitant nudge spreads the door's gap, releasing an ominous creak with a surge of sun. The thick silence swallows the sound, and the purple-walled room smells of cucumber melon. A gray sweater drapes over a swivel chair, resting lifeless beside an unmade bed. A barely touched palette hardens on the desk. A brush paused mid-stroke on the art, interrupted. Shadows stretch long against the weeping wall, longing to wear the half-painted canvas. As gold yields to sunset, the room exhales, mourning the color unfinished. End poem.
Oh, wow. What a beautiful, beautiful write this is by Jessica. I love, you know, how she plays with the shadows and you know, the everything in this, you know, is that those grays, those shadows, that, you know, those steps echoing heartbeats, click, 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 rising to a crescendo, like coming thunder. And even when you think of thunder, you think of gray and smells of cucumber melon. Oh, I just love how she used the color all throughout this. And then that last stanza is just amazing. The room exhales, mourning the color unfinished. Beautiful, beautiful write by Jessica. Oh, my gracious. And Pam, what did you think of this one? Oh, did Pam have to go?
Yeah, she said be right back.
Okay, well, I'll leave you comment then, Barb.
Yeah, I thought Jessica, as usual, did a wonderful job just painting a very vivid and serene scene. You know, she takes us from a hallway into a cracked door. You can, in all the senses, you can hear that door just creak. You hear the click, 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 click raising as she's walking into the room. Then the door's gaps, you know, the surge of the sun coming in. I can actually see the dust mites, you know, being reflected in that backlit sun coming in the window in the very still, quiet moment. But I particularly loved shadows stretch long against the weeping wall. Weeping wall, what a beautiful coupling of words that is. It emits so many emotions for me. It's just a beautiful pairing. Shadows stretch long against the weeping wall, longing to wear the half-painted canvas. So she talked about this painting that, you know, the palette of colors is drying. So it's an unfinished painting that perhaps the narrator has left unfinished. But that wall, that weeping wall, is just so yearning to wear that painting, to wear those colors. So it's like, hurry up and finish so that I can wear those colors. Oh, my gosh. She did a fabulous job setting just the most tranquil scene, right down to the gray sweater draped over a swivel chair, resting lifeless beside an unmade bed. Oh my gosh, I can see everything in that room and feel that sense of peace. Just an absolutely, irresistibly beautiful piece.
Absolutely. Yeah, the tranquility. That's what I was looking for, you know, that feeling I had through this poem. You hit the nail right on the head there with that one, Barb, the tranquility that you feel. She really, you know, wow, this is just amazing. This is going to be a hard contest to judge, oh my gracious, but I knew that because, you know, I ran the same contest when I started doing radio way back. Probably Pam remembers this, but for a Twisted Tuesday, I think I ran a similar contest, you know, where they had to choose a color and mix in the five senses. And, you know, it brings out the most awesome, awesome poetry when you ask poets to do that. So I knew, you know, that we're going to have great writes from this contest. And Jody, what did you think of the write, my dear?
Yeah, I thought it was a beautiful write. You know, I thought it captured the essence of anticipation and longing. You know, she painted a very vivid picture of a scene frozen in time. You know, the imagery of sunlight, echoing steps, unfinished art. I thought it all invoked a sense of melancholy and mystery for me, left me captivated by the untold stories that were within the lines. It seemed like there were so many, and you just got to try to use your imagination and try to pull them out. So I thought she did a very good job leaving me wondering what the untold stories were. Very well done.
I like that. Yeah, the mystery. And I like that, Jody. I love that comment. So true. You know, you are left with, you know, trying to put everything together and what's going to happen. And, you know, things are like that she said in the title, things are left unfinished. So, you know, it is like a great big mystery, you know, unfolding. So I love that comment. And Pam, are you back with us?
I am, yes, and I thought this write was absolutely beautiful and brilliant. I love her use of sound with the steps echoing, heartbeats, click, 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 rising to a crescendo like coming thunder, but also her bringing in the silence. You know, the thick silence swallows the sound, and the purple walled room smells of cucumber melon. So much to engage all the senses within this poem. And I like how it speaks on the everyday moments, that the moments that bring back memories. And I like how the half-painted canvas is literal, like the idea of, you know, that unfinished artwork, but it can also be taken metaphorically as something you didn't get to finish in life, perhaps somebody that you didn't get to spend enough time with or say something to because they passed on, or perhaps your lives took different paths. And I think this is just a wonderful layered write and very well done.
I like that. Yeah, I'm taking it metaphorically that way. It adds another layer to the whole write. Absolutely. Wonderfully well said there, Pam. And thank you so, so much, Jessica. That was a real delight to read and to analyze that poem. It's just wonderful. And where are we going next, Jody?
All right. Next, I'm going to put up a piece called Wonderland Garden by Beatrix McAbree. Puddles, you want to give that a read for us, please?
Sure. Wonderland Garden. I stood amongst the blooms of white. A zenith wind lifts the petals. Hands grasped the flow. Skin touched ones gleam scarlet. Lips curl, hue shifts yellow. A giggle, I spin, my emotions a swirl, the whirlwind rainbow from ember to violet, till the zeal stops, the petals drop, slowly fading to black, dying, the garden desolate ash, a breeze swept everything to sand, puffed the garden to dust, but at my feet, a tiny mid-bloom bud, azure among the bland backdrop, a little color, where there was not. End poem.
Oh, wow, this is so beautiful. Wonderland Garden. I just love that ending. Azure among the bland backdrop, a little color where there was not. And, you know, if you take that metaphorically, I think Pam is inspiring me here. You know, a little drop of something unexpected, you know, where there's not supposed to be. Maybe the unexpectedness in life, you know, that little thing that comes and amazes you when you less expect it to. But, you know, this poem is packed with emotion. Wow, you know, I just felt it, you know, all through myself when you were reading this, Barb, and that was such a beautiful read. You know, it's just amazing. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, this is really beautiful. And I have to say that because I see Beatrix write for my dark show so much, that it's nice to see another side of her. Like, there is darkness in this, but within especially those end lines where she says, but at my feet a tiny mid-bloom bud is there among the bland backdrop, a little color where there was not, was like that idea that within dark times, there is that splash, that color of hope, through amazing imagery throughout. But I really got a smile out of, a giggle, I spin, my emotions a swirl, the whirlwind rainbow from ember to violet, till the zeal stops, the petals drop, you know, and, you know, it goes into a darker tone there. But like I said, there is really this captivating moment of hope within that darkness. So very well done.
Absolutely. Packed with emotion and brilliance, this is. And wonderfully said there, Pam, your amazing comment. And Jody, what did you think?
Yeah, I enjoyed this poem too. I thought it did a wonderful job capturing the transient nature of beauty and emotion in this one, you know, with her vivid imagery of gardens bloom and eventual demise. You know, the contrast between vibrant colors and the death and decay, you know, definitely created a reflection on the cycles of life and the renewal of life. The hopeful note of the Azure bud amidst the bleakness, you know, definitely left some optimism and resilience in the poem. So I liked how she was able to fit that in at the end, because that's what it's all about. No matter how bad it gets, you know, you gotta have optimism that it's going to get better. I really enjoyed how she wrote that.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment there. And what did you think, Barb?
Yeah, I was also drawn to the same passage that Pam was drawn to, that the in the middle, a giggle, I spin, my emotions a swirl, the whirlwind rainbow from ember to violet. It's just like, you know, till the zeal stops. So it's like she's just totally in the rainbow colors of emotion and joy, just spinning around, going with the flow, just loving life. But it seemed so abrupt. It just was very jarring. And so you just wonder what has happened to this person that they go from all these vibrant colors till slowly fading to black dying, the garden desolate ash. The transition was so immediate. It was a very short transition. So you just got to think there was something jolting that happened to steal those colors away. But I loved how she brought it around in the last two stanzas, where perhaps much of the rainbow was dispersed, but among the bland backdrop, a little color where there was not. There's still some residue. There's still that seedling that can grow and bloom out of the ashes again. Not all was lost. Not all the joy was lost. There is a remembrance. There is a path forward to retrace back to those moments of joy. The blueprint is there. So that I thought she captured a lot of really interesting nuances and paths that she could take us on this emotional journey. I quite enjoyed.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said. Yeah, the nuances in here are just brilliantly executed throughout the poem. Wonderful, wonderful observation there. And so beautifully done, Beatrice Macabre. I love that word, macabre. And so where are we going next, Jody?
So what, macabre?
Well, I'm saying it in French. I don't know in English how it's pronounced, but in French it's macabre.
All right. So next I'm going to put up a piece by Dark and Auras, Music Weaves Through. And Naomi, will you give that a read, please?
Yep. Okay. Music Weaves Through by Dark and Auras. There is no soul through the windows of my eyes, only a black void, lost and trapped in the perilous darkness. Music can drown out the madness, ground me, help me float through calming blue tranquility. It can also numb the brain, make ears bleed, volume set to max, screaming out the lyrics, feeling understood 'cause you relate so well. Perfect harmony and beat can make you up and move your feet, whisk yourself into a different time and era, and for a moment live a dream. Sing along to Disney songs or laugh out loud to parodies. There's something for everyone, and music can set your spirit free. End poem. And isn't that so true? And there's so much music, there's so much color in music. Oh my gracious, you know, when you listen to music, you just, there's just a whirlwind of color. And you know, talking about music, Jody, I know you're a big amateur of music. What did you think of this one?
Yeah, I thought he delved into the dual nature of music as both solace and a source of overwhelming emotion in this one. I love the imagery of black void, you know, contrasted with the calming blue tranquility. definitely evoked a powerful sense of inner turmoil and the potential for music to offer, you know, the alternative, you know, with the shifting tones from soothing to intense, you know, reflected the complexity of our relationship with music. It can be both soothing and overwhelming at times. I always thought music could soothe even the savage beast. So I enjoyed the parodies, you know, that he, what he added with that, you know, it's a relatable touch to, you know, sing along. I mean, Disney songs, I would be working in a power plant, climbing 250-foot catwalks with heavy weight, and I'd have this parody of Hot Dog, Hot Dog, Hot Diggity Dog from Disney in my head. And it was soothing me as I was going through all this hard labor, but it was what my daughter, like, always watched when I came home. But, so I can definitely relate to that. I thought that was a very good poem.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment there. And Barb, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought Darker Doors did a fabulous job of this. I really like the line that it can make you up and move your feet, whisk yourself into a different time and era. How many times does a song come on the radio and you're no longer sitting in the car, you know, at the red light? You're whisked off to some memory where that same song played, and somehow something very deep and meaningful and emotional was going on when that same kind came on back in your memory banks, and you're just catapulted right back into that same moment in time. I love when that happens, because typically for me, they're always very happy memories. They bring me back to a very happy place. But I also like the stanza, it can also numb the brain. I listen to music like soft, calming, tranquil, peaceful, instrumental, slow music when I'm doing my taxes, because I need the music for my sanity. Playing with those numbers. Oh, man, you definitely, your brain can just go on reverse. But, and then in the next breath, though, talks about make ears bleed, volume set to max. Oh, my gosh, I know every single human being, here's a song that they just absolutely rock with, that resonates with them to the core in that particular moment of time, and they just absolutely crank it till their ears bleed. I mean, my brother did that for every song growing up in high school. We could hear him two blocks away coming. The earth would shake in his car. But yeah, music really is the symphony of our souls. I think we read into music, and music reads into us and helps to define us. And it seems that the color that Darkandora has chosen to represent music is blue tranquility, although I do also see red in the intensity of some hard rock, heavy metal songs. I see blackness. You can just see a kaleidoscope of colors in here, but she chose only to highlight blue tranquility. Anyways, just a beautiful piece that definitely taps into all the different tones of sense.
Absolutely. Yeah, wonderfully brilliant comment there, Barb. And yeah, we do see the color, the whirlwind of color through music and through her lines there, done in such a clever way. And what did you think, Pam?
Oh, I thought this was absolutely amazing. Really creative and fun line on the way the body can move. I mean, music can move both the body and the spirit. And I did enjoy her references to the different kinds of music and the different beats and harmonies. Yeah, just really, really thoughtful lines throughout. I especially like perfect harmony and beat can make you up and move your feet, whisk yourself into a different time and era, and for a moment live a dream. Beautiful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Wonderfully said there, Pam. And for a wonderful piece by Dark and Doris, thank you so, so much. And where are we going next, Jody?
Well, first, I really thought you dropped the ball there, Naomi. I was waiting on a sock mop reference, but didn't get it.
Yeah. Twist and shout. Well, I have a few. Because I sock mop my floor. I put on music and I dance and I mop the floor. But, yeah. So where are we going next?
So I'm going to put up a poem by M. Ramos, Warmth of Hair So Fiery Red. Pam, would you give that a read for us?
Did you say my name?
I did.
Okay. All right. Very cool.
Right. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Warmth of hair so fiery red soothes me so as if I was wrapped in a cloak of blue. Passion always consumes the mind of a person that's falling in love. Blushing with pink and a big smile, let's be here at this moment with the thought that anything is possible. Believe in your overworked soul. Embrace the riches of one's green tears to the world. And those who dare to dream without no limits, the night is upon us, the black has the room, until the stars shine ever so bright like the sun with its yellow taking over the skies. End poem.
What a beautiful poem. Now, you know, that starts with falling in love. And, you know, that sentiment that comes over you. And, yeah, a cloak of blue passion. Yeah, that's the first time I hear that, a cloak of blue passion. I don't know. It's just me. But then you have the hair that's fiery red, but it's soothing. Like I suppose when you're, you know, falling in love and it's a beautiful love, it's reciprocated and you know everything is going well. I suppose you do feel that soothing kind of feeling. Yeah, I guess so. And very well described here. And, you know, blushing with pink and a big smile. And, you know, I love where this poet takes the whole poem, you know, from those beginning lines right to the end with, you know, the stars, the sun, you know, the skies. And, you know, the dreams that are without no limits. Very well done. What did you think, Barb?
Yeah, I think Melinda took us on a delightful journey. And she used the title as the starting blocks, you know, with the fiery red hair. And, you know, it's often associated with a sexiness. You know, it's kind of a sexy thing. And an inordinate number of Disney princesses have red hair. And also stars in, like, kids-based movies have red hair. It's astounding. But she starts the journey with this fiery red hair, and then she brings us into the cloak of blue passion and consuming the mind. And she allows us to shadow her as she falls deeper and deeper in love and lets herself go with blushing pink and a big smile. And then she really taps into even deeper emotions of just embracing the richness of one's green tears to the world and thoughts to dare to dream with no limits. That's what I wish for everyone, no matter age, to dream with no limits. So I love to get to read that tonight, just as a reminder, even to myself. So I just love this delightful journey that Melinda has taken us on through love, through use of colors. Very creative. Just absolute delight to read.
Absolutely. Yeah, very creative, very unique, and very brilliant. And Pam, what did you think?
This is a beautiful, right? Wonderful imagery throughout. Great use of colors that take us through the journey of love that dances through the day and the night. And I thought there were such passionate lines throughout. But I especially like, you know, a person that's falling. Passion always consumes the mind of a person that's falling in love, blushing with pink and a big smile. And I thought it was really cool the way they capitalized the A and the S in smile, almost as if the purposeful capitalization was a representation of that big smile. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said there, Pam. And, yeah, I like that you, that observation towards the formatting there. And what did you think, Jody?
I thought she did an incredible job capturing the intoxicating essence of love and the warmth that it brings. You know, the imagery of passion consuming the mind, it does. When you're in that space, like, passion just is all you think about. It's accompanied, you know, by blushing pink and a big smile. I can totally see that. Definitely paints a vivid picture of euphoria, you know, for falling in love. Now, the transition from darkness of night to the brightness of stars and the sun symbolizes, you know, the journey from uncertainty to hope and illumination. And, you know, it's just a great job of celebration of love, dreams, and, you know, I think the overall thing was the boundless potential that we have in our human experience, which I thought really culminated well with the, again, another poem. It culminated well with the contest and the theme of the show that we have. So very well done.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. You know, the discovering me through poetry, you know, the poems that we've read tonight, there's so many that really, like you said, Jody, you know, they really, you know, there's a little bit of each person revealed, I think, inside of the lines. So well said there. I'm not going to push another poem because, you know, that we only have a couple of minutes left. I just want to, you know, really take the time to say thank you to everybody that encourages us, you know, every week by writing for our contests, you know, whether it be any show on LNP, you know, just thank you so, so much for encouraging us. And join us tomorrow. I have Twisted Tuesdays, and so there's a representing an artist there. I forget which one. It's been a while with the problems with Blog Talk and the show's being postponed, so I don't remember exactly, but we're at Twisted Tuesdays tomorrow and an Art of Seduction on Wednesday. And what do we have Wednesday for Art of Seduction, Pam?
We are going to try for the third time to do Whet the Sensual Appetite, the food photography of Michael Michaels, and the quotes, the sensual and romantic quotes about cooking and food in general. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, that'll be amazing. And is there any other shows that are coming up, Pam, that you'd like to talk about?
Well, at 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. time tonight, we have Garden of Enlightenment with Lu Yu Wildove, and then 12:30 a.m. Eastern U.S. time, we have After Midnight with Rex and myself. And so, yep, check them out.
Yeah, always something interesting on here on LNP. great shows. And so thank you so much, Pam, for stepping in. And you know, you're always so appreciated, your reading, your commenting, and everything that you do. Oh, my gracious, I so depend on Pam, you guys. You wouldn't even imagine.
I can imagine. We all do.
Remember, Naomi, you have this, you know. Oh, my gracious. Oh, yeah, I do. So thank you so much, Pam, for everything you do. Thank you, Fill My Eyes, for everything that she does also in the background. And, you know, thank you, Jody, oh, my gracious, for being such a wonderful co-host. And Barb, it's just such a delight to have you on board. And so thank you so, so much. This has been a wonderful show. And have a happy, happy rest of the day, everybody. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thanks, Naomi. Thank you all.